Since 1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041kqth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
This Independence Day, I want to remind you that less than 5% of our population protects our freedoms. Now, freedom is not free. As a reminder of that, we've got two guests today who have made sacrifices, both representatives of the Folds of Honor organization. So let's go ahead and go right to it. Today on American Warrior Radio to discuss Folds of Honor and just the wonderful promotion that Budweiser is doing this summer to help raise her Folds of Honor is Major Ed Polito. Now, Ed is the Senior Vice President, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, I always get something wrong.
Correct.
For Folds of Honor. But beyond that, he is also a retired Army veteran. He served, he retired as a major in the United States Army, and he's also a disabled veteran. And Ed, I tell you, what impressed me a lot about your story is, and part of, I love Folds of Honor and what they do, but I also love the fact that many of the senior leadership at Folds of Honor are veterans. And in your case in particular, there's a lot of power that you bring to, I think, to the organization as a disabled veteran.
Well, I totally agree. What a great day to be an American and be on your show, American Warrior. I tell you what, my book is called Warrior for Freedom. And as I always tell people, my story is about making sure that no one gets left behind on the field of battle, that our individuals that are our supporters understand that, you know what, it's always mission first, people always, that we're going to take care of these military families through scholarships. And for me, it's a personal deal. August 17th of 2004, I hit a roadside bomb in Iraq. And one of the things that I vowed when I looked at this young man's eyes that saved my life was that if I got back home and was given a second chance, that I was going to come home and take care of people like him and his family. And the enlisted and a non-commissioned officer, the backbone of our military, is what it's all about, and that's why I do everything I do in getting up and putting on a prosthetic and making things happen on behalf of the Folds of Honor.
Now, Ed, it was about a year between the IED attack and when the decision was made that they actually were going to have to amputate your leg. That there were some sort of dark times during that period for you that I'm guessing inspired you and has led you down this path. Where you are now, correct?
That's correct. I had E. coli, Enterobacter, which is in the soil, and then I had two staph infections and a chemical agent that actually festered in my leg. And what ends up happening is that the left leg could not be repaired. And I also had a wound to the arm, and they were able to save the arm. But you know what? At the end of the day, I got what I call healing hope and opportunity, great motivation by my fellow warriors. And then I want to say something about our Vietnam veterans who are out there listening. You know what? It was them that would come in my room and say, you know what? The mistakes made on us won't be made on you. And that's what the Folds of Honor is all about. Major Rooney and I understand that, you know what? Freedom has a price. And this morning on my way here, you know what? I posted a picture of a Purple Heart. And the reason that I did that is because I think for me, when I see that Purple Heart, it signifies not only the brotherhood that we have, but more importantly, you know, our founding fathers and the freedom that we have with this upcoming Independence Weekend to understand that, you know what, at the end of the day, it's not about fireworks. It's about being free and being independent in this nation.
Boy, you're spot on. And honestly, listeners, we didn't talk about this beforehand. Ed just literally got off a plane. But that, when I was thinking about what to do for Independence Day, and we've done shows in the past where, you know, we have Gary Sinise on, and we have the supporters, and we have the celebration, but I just came from a change of command myself out at the Air Force Base, and it's the Electronic Combat Group. And these families are always downrange. And that's what you said there speaks exactly to the mission of the program. The reason we do this is people need to pause. People need to understand. Those of us who never served need to think about it, that there's people like you and your comrades and those who've come before and those who are still out there and will come in the next generation that are preserving this, preserving our ability to have, if you want to have a Budweiser, great, whatever it is, but our ability to celebrate, and it should be a celebration.
Well, and I think at American Warrior Radio, you said it best when I came in, and that is to educate that 99% of those that are out there that may not have an understanding of the sacrifices that are made. And as I always say, you know, again, thinking about this morning, as I fly in, you know, I was thinking about the fact, hey, you know what, I may have left my leg on the battlefield, but at the end of the day, I have a Purple Heart with me that will be cherished. And that Purple Heart's not about me. It's about living in the greatest nation in the world, the United States of America. And that's what Major Rooney and I are all about at the Folds of Honor, honoring the sacrifice, educating the legacy, making sure no one gets left behind. So help us, God.
And I want to talk a little more about Folds of Honor, but your story is so interesting. I want to spend just a couple more minutes on that, because for many people, that time in the hospital, amputation, you're recovering, then you had to make a decision. Do you want to stay in your beloved Army, or, you know, do you want to be medically retired? I'm guessing that was an option.
That was an option, okay. And it was a very tough decision, because what happens is, on behalf of a grateful nation, you get this letter and it says, hey, you're rated unfit for duty. You know what? It's a tough pill to swallow, especially for someone like me. It kind of gives me a little bit of an emotional side to what I, you know, what I'm all about. And I will be honest with you, I sat there and cried, and I always tell people I cry now because when I got one of my blood transfusions, I got a little female blood in me, so now I cry all the time. But I think what happened at that moment was that the reality set in that, you know what, this was a new chapter in my life, and as my wife said, you know what, we're writing a new book, and that's what it's been all about since then. And I had the support of my wife Karen, my little girl Caitlin, who's just now turned 16, And now we have Kinsley. We put braces on her yesterday. And the only reason I say that is because, to me, that is what mattered. God, country, and family. And to me, my family is the most precious thing. That's why I get up every day and work. And that's why I do and travel 200-plus days a year for the foundation.
Well, let's talk about that, Ed, because you took what, for many of us, would be a situation that we may not come out of. You faced those dark days, and as you said, with the help of God and family and country and your fellow soldiers, you came out, but now you're dedicating, I'm guessing, most of your life to helping others. You've received the Disabled Veteran of the Year Award.
Yes.
That you've been honored with the American Red Cross Heroes Award. But one thing that stuck out for me is the Heartline Festival Hope Award for Suicide Prevention. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I do a lot of work on suicide. In fact, I'm involved with the Real Warriors campaign. We just did a campaign nationally, and it'd be great to maybe have me on to talk about that in the future. But the Real Warriors campaign with the Department of Defense, the VA, and a lot of other organizations all across this country, we do a campaign to basically say, hey, here's a resource. Suicide can be prevented, and we can't be losing 22 people a day to this terrible, terrible thing that we call suicide. So for us, it's about hope. It's about making sure that people get up and succeed in life, and it's about giving them the tools and the resources. And what I mean by them is the veterans and their families, the opportunity that, you know what, at the end of the day, you know what, we may have been dealt a tough card. We may have changed on the battlefield. But as I talk about in my book called Warrior for Freedom, you know what, you can't give up on the precious gift of life.
Wonderful. Now let's talk about, we've got just a couple minutes. I was sharing with the folks before we started this interview about, I just saw the most recent promotion from Budweiser for Folds of Honor featuring Adam Driver, the actor Adam Driver. I had no idea he was a Marine. I dare anyone to watch that and not get a little bit misty or just break outright crying. Tell us about the important, and it's about the young lady, the daughter of the Army veteran who was injured. Tell us about Folds of Honor's impact, just the kinds of things you do to support those family members.
Well, I could see myself as that individual in there that served his country, is broken, all he wants to do is just make sure that his family's taken care of, that his daughter has the educational support and opportunities. And what I love about that is that you have a movie star, but a veteran.
Yeah.
And we need more of those that serve in Hollywood and then, you know, become actors. And I think the powerfulness of that is that Budweiser decided, this is what we're going to do to make a delivery. And the delivery is not just making the beer delivery, but it's also making a delivery of hope for this young lady to have a scholarship and to be the beacon of light for her education. And the way I look at it, and I hope the listeners are listening, when you provide that scholarship, it's a thank you on behalf of the American people. Because what people may not know is that, you know, 87% of those individuals will not get any educational support because guess what? Government can't do it alone. And if you look at that statistic, unless you're rated 100% or killed in action, you don't get that educational scholarship or educational support from government. So Folds of Honor is meeting that gap, and we're working with government to make sure that no one gets left behind. And Mr. Driver's all about that, and I want to just give a big shout out to Budweiser for honoring the sacrifice and educating the legacy. And Major Rooney and I salute Budweiser and their team, and in Arizona and across the country for really making a difference and making an impact.
Well, I got to tell you, Ed, in my day job, one of the things I'm involved with is nonprofits. And let's be honest, sometimes, well, let me put it this way. Folds of Honor has the platinum rating from GuideStar, which is the preeminent rating agency for nonprofits. When you donate to Folds of Honor, it's going to go help these families, period. End of discussion.
Correct. And I think that's important, and you want every dollar to count, and you want organizations to be accountable. And I know that at the foundation, we've got systems in place. And Major Rooney and I, when we first started all of this, and of course he's our visionary, and I'm the gentleman on the ground. And every day that I ground pound and he's in the air, dropping bombs is the way we look at it. But you know what? He continues to serve, and what we continue to serve is, you know what? And not in uniform for me anymore, but, in serving my community, just like you do. And that's what, you know what? That's what game changers do, and that's what difference makers do, and that's what we're all about.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and spend some time with American Warrior. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Polito, Senior Vice President for Folds of Honor, not a disabled veteran, a recalibrated veteran. Ed, thanks so much. Take care.
Well, God bless the United States of America, and as I always say, hoorah!
All right. We'll be right back, folks.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, listeners. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. This Sunday, Independence Day, we're talking about the true price of freedom. You heard from Major Ed Polito, the Senior Vice President of the Folds of Honor Foundation. We're now joined on the phone by Ginger Gilbert Ravella, who is the Director of the Folds of Honor Speakers Bureau. Now, she's another Folds of Honor representative who personally knows the price of maintaining our freedoms. If the highest price to be paid for freedom is when a member of our military gives their own life, an equally high price is when a mother loses her child, or, in Ginger's case, when a wife loses her husband. Ginger Gilbert became a Gold Star wife on November 27th, 2006. We're very proud and humbled to have Ginger joining us on the phone. Ginger, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thank you, Ben. Great to be here.
Well, Ginger, let's start off, if you would, tell us about Troy's story.
Troy's story was an amazing Air Force officer, but even more so just a godly man and an incredible husband and father to our five children. He was my college sweetheart. We met in Texas in college and married, and soon after he joined the Air Force and lived out his boyhood dream of becoming an F-16 fighter pilot, and I followed him willingly all around the globe as he served our nation, and I was proud to just stand beside him and behind him and just take care of the home fires while he was away and doing his job.
Now, on that fateful day, Ginger, Troy was flying with an expeditionary force out of in Iraq. He was providing F-16 close air support on a mission for a downed special operations helicopter. As I understand it, the story goes, he made two strafing runs, but he wanted to be really close to make sure that no friendlies got hurt, and he didn't make it out. Folks, a few technical difficulties there. We'll hook up with Ginger. Ginger, you still with us? Okay, folks. We're going to try and get Ginger back on the phone. Just to recount this story, Major Troy Gilbert, as I mentioned, was flying close air support in F-16. He and his partner, after refueling, made two strafing runs. The crew of this downed Special Forces helicopter was taking incoming fire from some enemy, and so Major Gilbert went down, made one pass, destroyed an enemy vehicle that was firing on them, came back to make a second pass, but as I mentioned, he wanted to get very close just to make sure that nobody was injured, no friendlies were injured in that fire. Unfortunately, he was not able to pull out from that pass and was killed when his plane crashed into the ground. Now, unfortunately, before our rescuers could get there, the enemy got to the plane first and basically took most of his remains before our rescuers could get there to recover Troy's body. So do we have Ginger back, Rhea? Ginger, you're back with us? Okay.
I'm back, Ben. Sorry, cell phones and driving across the country, so we'll do our best.
Well, you know, live radio, what are you going to say? And so I was recounting for our listeners Troy's story about how he lost his life. Ginger, it's interesting to me, you know, you and I have met before in person. Actually, you and Jim and I have all met. We've got a friend in common, General Robin Rand. You might be able to recount this for me. As I told the story, Robin was Troy's commander at the Expeditionary Force there in Baghdad at the time. He was spun up in the cockpit because he got notification that he needed to fly cover for a downed F-16, but was recalled, and I don't think he knew at the time that it was his good friend Troy. Do you know?
No, he did not. He was on the runway ready to take off and support the missions that day when he got word that one of his men that had gone down, but at the time he didn't know it was Troy, and Troy had served under General Rand at Luke Air Force Base, where we were stationed when Troy was killed. And so he had been a mentor and a father figure, and definitely an Air Force leader that Troy always looked up to. And so they had a friendship that went well beyond the office place. And so General Rand lost his friend, and the day that I lost my husband, and the kids lost their father.
Ginger, it's interesting to me. I've been to Troy's memorial page, and if our listeners are familiar with that, if you go to the page, folks can list comments. And I found it very touching. There is one comment on the memorial page from an anonymous poster. And I'll read it. I'll quote it for you. It says, "Ginger, thank you. Your husband saved my team's life." Now, I'm guessing from what I read that those might have been Delta Force operators on the ground there. But basically, Troy, you know, freedom is not free. And Troy sacrificed his life to save 22 other lives that day.
He did. The Army Special Forces Commander wrote me a letter later that week after Troy was killed, and he said Troy did not loiter at high altitudes, but came in guns engaged, full force, ready to help those of us who so desperately needed him. And that's just exactly who he was. He never did anything halfway, and he could have looked like he was helping his fellow brothers on the ground that he would never meet but would give his life for, but he went the extra measure. And I just feel like that's sort of my inspiration now as I go forward. And believe me, it was not easy to go forward after I lost the love of my life and the father to my children, who all of my children were under the age of 8. I had a 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and 2 6-month-old babies when their daddies deployed for Iraq. And so, you know, I was a single mother at 36, a widow, a military widow. And I just I didn't know how we would go forward without him by our side and leading and at the helm, but by God's grace and a lot of prayers and by just Troy's example of going the extra measure no matter what it takes and getting up and doing the right thing day after day, I was motivated to not only be the mom that I needed to be to our children without him, but to also go forward and help military families, because I myself was helped. Arizona wrapped their arms around me, so I have a special place in my heart for that community there in Arizona, who just loved on the kids and I, and that's when Folds of Honor came into our life.
Well, and Ginger, I want to talk a little bit more about that after the break. We've got about 2 minutes before the commercial break, but I want to emphasize for our listeners, it was not just losing your husband that was bad enough, but what began then was a 10-year struggle to fully recover his remains. We had a Navy SEAL who's been on the program here. He's now the owner of a bottle breacher, and he was involved in one of the operations to try and find the rest of Troy's remains. It wasn't till 10 years later that you finally were able to completely put Troy to rest, correct?
Yes, Troy's body was taken by Al-Qaeda, Iraqi insurgents, right after the crash, before our U.S. forces could get in to rescue him. And though we had DNA confirmation that there was no way he could have survived the crash, it was a long, long road of our men and women of the Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, every branch searching for him. But I never gave up praying and hoping, but it was a journey. I knew it would be for him to ever return home and have the homecoming, certainly not the one that I wanted originally when he deployed, but it was definitely the one I prayed for, because the justice, you know, would be only if he could be buried back in this country at Arlington.
Now, in fairness, Ginger, you know, it wasn't just hoping and praying. In 2012, the Air Force said, "We give up. We're not going to look for him anymore. And I mean, you literally were on the coattails of the Secretary of the Air Force until they got the job done finally.
Yes, Troy's family and I joined forces and just really.
I guess.
Other than like it,
okay.
You know, we rallied and the Air Force listened. He was killed in action, but also his body was missing, and so they definitely changed their tune and just always never stopped looking. I do believe that, especially in the special operations world, because they truly.
Okay, Ginger, we're gonna have to take a break. When we come back, we want to chat with you more about Folds of Honor and just the wonderful things that have happened in your life, the recovery with you and Jim. Stick around, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back right here on American Warrior Radio.
$0.89 in the ashtray, half-empty bottle of Gatorade rolling in the floorboard. That dirty Braves cap on the dash, dog tags hanging from the rear view, old skull can and cowboy boots and a gold army shirt folded in the back. This thing burns gas like crazy, but that's alright. People got their ways of coping, oh, and I got mine.
Welcome back to American Warrior, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Folds of Honor and the impact they have had on the lives for those who have paid the ultimate price to preserve our freedoms this Independence Day. We want to make sure you think about that sometime this summer. Ginger, I hope we've got you back. Ginger, are you with us?
I'm there,
Okay, well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, just be, you know, Ginger, she is the director of the Speakers Bureau for Folds of Honor, so she's back and forth all across the country, and she's somewhere on the road right now. I don't want to know where it is, Ginger. That's classified probably, but listen, I apologize for that. I don't know how that song got in the rotation for the cart for our bumper music, but just because it did, that song, I Drive Your Truck by Lee Brice, one of my favorite and most heartwarming stories about Folds of Honor involves your family and a pickup truck.
Yes, I had the privilege of getting to Lee Brice through Folds of Honor. He sang at an event, and I spoke and shared our family's testimony of being helped through the foundation and just what life looks like after loss in the military. And he sang that song, and I turned to him in front of the audience, and without even really thinking about it, just looked him in the eyes and said, I hope you know the power of music and how beautiful those words are to those of us who have been left behind from war, and just the things that are treasured items, because it's the things they touched, and we can connect with them. And my children, all five kids under the age of 9, when their husband was killed, you know, several of them don't even remember who their dad was. And so I told him I wish that we had my husband's old pickup truck, 92 Chevy Silverado. I said, you know, traded it in before he deployed, never dreaming that he wouldn't come home. And so my boys were teenagers at the time I met Lee, and I said, you know, I just would love to have that truck back. And little did I know that Lee and his manager and my new husband, Jim Ravella, Colonel Jim Ravella, an F-15 fighter pilot in the Air Force who lost his wife to breast cancer, they would team up and for a year would hunt down that old 25-year-old pickup that was my husband's, and before his, it was his dad's, so it was a third-generation truck, and it was actually found in Phoenix, Arizona, and barely hanging on, but the wheels were still on it, and they brought it back to me, and so Lee Brice gave it to my children and I live at the ACM back in last year in November, and I just can't even begin to tell you what it felt like. You know, I get teared up thinking about it now, just behind the wheel.
I wasn't trying to make it hard on you, Ginger, but
no,
I, you know,
no.
I, when we spoke to Major Ed earlier in this program, I tell you, this video of Adam Driver presenting a Folds of Honor check personally to a family, every time I see that, I literally get a little bit misty. And I felt the same way about this video. I mean, God bless Lee Bryce and your current husband and those folks that went out and looked. I mean, in our country, they tracked down a individual truck and tricked it out and returned it to you guys. Wow. What a great story.
It is a great story. And Iron Cross Automotive redid the outside of it. They painted Troy's silhouette, the F-16 silhouette on the back of the tailgate, and restored it for my boys. And we actually are in Missouri right now and just met with the folks at Jasper Automotive, and they've donated a new engine and transmission. so it is going to be, she will be the oldest running truck in America, I think, by the time it's all over, because it is it's just a treasure in a way that my kids can connect with their dad and just share a piece of his history.
Well, Ginger, you know, as you know, we're partnering with Budweiser and their fundraiser this summer to raise money for Folds of Honor. Honestly, one of my favorite support groups for the families of the military. And tell us a little bit about how you became involved with Folds of Honor. And, you know, we use the example of the truck, but the impact that it's had on you and your children has gone beyond that.
Yes. So back in 2007, when Major Dan Rooney started the foundation, was just a year after my husband had been killed. And they had mutual friends, Troy and Major Rooney had mutual friends within the F-16 community. So my five children are five of the first eight, along with Major Polito's kids, to receive scholarships. And, you know, at the time, way back then, Ben, I wasn't sure, you know, we would ever make it to college, because it just seemed like such a long, dark road ahead of us after losing Troy. And but, you know, now that my kids are 19, 17, 13, and those twin baby girls are 11 years old now, we are living every day the benefits of what those scholarships actually mean. And my kids are in a Christian school where we live in Texas. And then my oldest is in college at SMU playing soccer and living out his dream. And truly, it's just all by the graciousness of the American people who have just reached into our lives and tangibly support our family through these scholarships. And just, it makes a difference. And I just can't thank people enough or encourage everyone who is grateful for their freedom, as you should be if you're out enjoying a barbecue and lake time with your family. And you owe it to the men and women, the very small percentage who have given their all, whether life or limb, to support everything that they get to do. And so, you know, my kids, I believe, had to grow up faster than I would have liked for them to. And but they have a gratitude for this nation and the people and that serve it more than any other kids their age. And I think these scholarships are not just a tangible financial help to us, but they're also really a thank you from the American people for what our family has sacrificed. Because truly, Troy, his name was Trojan. His call sign meant warrior, which I think is appropriate to be on your radio station today. but our family, you know, we've also had to go on and be warriors without him. So that's what Folds of Honor does. It helps the warriors left behind.
Well, and I'm so glad you said that, because to me, unfortunately, it took a while for us to fulfill our promise not to leave any man behind, you know, in Troy's case, but it got done. You know, thanks to you, but also the power of these folks knowing that we will educate their legacy, that we'll take care of their families if they can't come back or there's an issue that comes up. What, Ginger, for our other families who might be listening, what are the qualifications to apply for a Folds of Honor scholarship, and how do they start that process? Do they just go to foldsofhonor.org and begin, or could you just describe that for us a little bit?
Sure. Foldsofhonor.org is the best place to start. Our scholarship season application process opens up January and February for the school year after that. And so, but it's a great time right now to be checking out the website and for these families. And so it's KIA families and wounded families. And there are certain qualifications that you have to meet and obviously government paperwork that you have to submit. But the kids also reapply every year and they have to keep certain grades. So there's an accountability on the spouse and the kids' part. But I think it just serves as such a great way for the American people to truly, the ones that haven't worn the uniform, they can still serve their nation by serving their nation's finest. Because I think the misconception is that the government takes care of all these families, and in truth, that isn't that isn't really what happened.
Oh, Ginger, there's 15 more radio shows in that statement. You said a mouthful. So, just real quickly, we've got about another minute and a half before the next break, and then when we come back, I want to chat a little with Jim, if you can hand the phone over. But describe to me as one of the first recipients, your family is of a Folds of Honor scholarship, how that's given you the extra power and strength as you're out there meeting the other families.
You know, I kind of have found myself in a position of just being a voice for Gold Star families, and I'm privileged and humbled by that. I hope I serve them well, because these amazing families that you will never get to talk to, Ben, or your listeners will never get to hear from, I meet them on the road, and they are true heroes. They're overcomers, and they want to do good in this nation. And truly, these kids, this generation, 1.5 million dependents just from Iraq and Afghanistan, are our nation's future. And so for us to invest in them, and they've already walked through some of the darkest valleys that are imaginable for anyone. And so I just think the things that I watch my kids do and the way they already serve their nation in so many ways, I think you'd be proud to know that the money that you're donating is going to support some really, really incredible Americans.
Well, well spoken, Ginger. I can see why you're a spokesperson for Folds of Honor. Folks, the story doesn't end there. It keeps going. When we come back, we'll be talking with Colonel Jim Rivella, who's also on the road with Ginger. They're married. So listen, as you're stocking up for your Independence Day celebration, don't forget, you want to pick up some Budweiser? That's not a bad idea. That's going to go to support these great scholarships with Folds of Honor. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. Now, back to the American Warrior.
And we lit up your world.
Welcome back to American Warrior, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the true price of freedom on this Independence Day weekend. You heard from Ginger Gilbert Rivella, who's a spokesperson for Folds of Honor. And I got to tell you, the story doesn't end there. Just as Ginger is paying it forward to helping raise scholarships for the next generations of these military families, well, let me just say, out of two tragedies, two military families became one. Hopefully, Jim, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, and nice to talk to you.
Colonel Jim Rivella, on December 17th, 2007, you're Air Force as well, retired, correct?
Yes, yep. I was an F-15 fighter pilot.
F-15, F-16s, I get so confused. F-35, I didn't. But, Jim, you also had a tragedy in your family not having, well, had to do with a battle. I'll leave it at that. But on December 17, 2007, your wife, Andrea, lost a courageous battle with breast cancer. You started a blog back then in 2007, which that was even before blogs were cool, I guess, huh, Jim?
Yes, it actually started a little bit before that. I was sending emails to my friends on updates, and then I started thinking maybe they're just a little too sad because we were always getting bad news. So I thought I'd just do this blog and my friends could go read, you know, how updates on Andrea, not realizing at the time that anybody in the world could read a blog. So, we just started putting down my thoughts and what we were going through. And that's where it kind of started.
Well, I tell you, Jim, like you, I'm a person of faith, and I'm guessing somebody had a plan in mind for that, because you were talking about the challenge you were facing and how you were dealing with them, helping to share, get some relief perhaps and share some ideas and maybe reach out to other folks who might be going through something similar. Pretty soon, your blog is attracting hundreds, thousands of readers. One particular reader of your blog was a young lady named Ginger. How did that turn out?
When Troy crashed, I was flying F-15 at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in North Carolina. So we heard the day that we lost a fellow fighter pilot, went through the fighter community and the Air Force. So we actually raised money in our squadron for Ginger and the kids and sent it out to them as part of just helping them out. But that day, shortly after that, my wife, Andrea, went into ICU in January, so a couple months after Troy crashed. And it didn't look like she was going to make it. So I went home about 2 a.m. from the hospital and wrote a note to friends and just said, you know, I'm not sure why this is happening, but I know God did not become bad today, that my faith in him wasn't circumstantial, that I still believed, regardless of that I might lose her tonight. And my story was I related to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they are going to get thrown into the fire, and their response to the king was, I know our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to you. And I felt like that spoke to me, like, I know God could heal Andrea, but if he chose not to, I still trusted him. And that's what got to Ginger, and she read that one night and just said, I want to reach out to this family, because that spoke to me. And so we ended up an email correspondence between Andrea and I and Ginger over about a 10-month period, the last few months of Andrea's life, and we would just write back and forth and kind of encourage Ginger and help her with her struggles and her faith and what she was going through. We were speaking from, you know, nearly 4 years of fighting cancer and a little over 2 years of it being terminal. So we thought we understood what it meant. But I soon learned when Andrea passed away that I really didn't understand loss until it became final. And so, yeah, that's kind of how Ginger and I met in a way.
And two families became one.
Yes, so Ginger, after Andrea's funeral, Ginger was in Texas visiting friends, and we were both going to be in Dallas visiting friends and family. And we said, well, we had talked for, you know, 10 months. We said, how about we just meet, have, you know, a mm-hmm. cup of coffee and just say hello. And we did that, and out of that grew our relationship, and we were married in May and brought our families together. So 7 kids who had all faced hard times, and God put us together, and it's been an amazing journey. So now we go about trying to help other families, and that blog turned into a book this year. We turned it into a book this year.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. The name of the book is Hope Found. I usually try and read books before I have guests on the air, but, sorry I haven't read this one yet. But one thing I find interesting in the references and the reviews, Jim, is the use of the word journey comes up very often. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but the journeys that both you and Ginger have been on separately and your families have been on and now coming together and the journey that you continue on, I say that because at least with my faith, you know, it's not just a beginning and an end sort of thing. It's not just, you know, you go on the internet and there's the answer, you're done, you move on. Truly, right. It is a journey that one passes through and passes along, correct?
Yeah, amen. That is exactly right. Matter of fact, the blog that I started was called Journey to Healing. And when Ginger and I got married, we continued it because, you know, what started that was a journey to Andrea's healing was my finite mind's view of that. And then it became about a journey to healing that's far beyond just this physical world. So Ginger and I continued that blog, which grew into the book Hope Found, which you can find on Amazon if anybody's interested, the complete kind of our story of loss and coming together. And really it's about understanding God's faithfulness. It's not just about only if you lose somebody. This is for anybody who's struggling with reconciling the life they're living, what they're expecting, and what's happening to them. And maybe they see a disconnect between the God they love and served and what's happening to them, and you try to put that together. And it's what Ginger and I went through. It's kind of confusing, but in the end, you know he's faithful, and it's not circumstantial. That's kind of the story of the book.
Now, Jim, if you don't mind, share some more thoughts with us, because we do have listeners I know out there who may not be facing a tragedy as final as the tragedy that you and Ginger faced individually with your spouses, but they might be struggling with another issue. Major Ed Polito mentioned when he was in the hospital after the amputation of his leg, you know, he went through some very dark times, and the idea, you know, thoughts of suicide crossed his mind. So what sorts of things can you share with our listeners today and the folks tuning into the podcast that can help?
Well, it's true. A lot of people, and we meet them, and Ginger and I still have, you know, struggle. We're not free from struggles or times in life when we don't understand why things are happening. And that's really kind of most people summarize in that way, is why is this happening? Sometimes it's why does a good God allow bad things to happen? Just we can't connect the circumstances we're in with the God that we're serving and loving. And it doesn't seem like he would allow, if you really think, to happen. But you know, what you find as you go through these struggles, it's not that God ever left you. It's that God is always with you in those dark times. So when people face a struggle in anything, could be financial, could be, you know, could be death, could be like major Ed, just a depression from whatever circumstance in life. And you find, as you get in those moments, what I found is that, you know, as a fighter pilot, I was awfully confident in my ability and what I could do and take care of myself. But when you hit that point, when you know life is bigger than you and you realize that, you know, that what you need is a God that's bigger than this world, and that's who he is. And he never lets you. One moment I felt like I was just ready to let my fingers go from a cliff, kind of like in a movie when you're just slipping slowly and you're going to fall to your death. I thought, I just can't do it anymore. And I was ready to just give up. And I remember thinking, I'm falling. It was over, but I never fell. And it was God was holding me the whole time. And that was the visual I had, was all that time I thought I was hanging on by my own strength. But it was really God that was holding me the whole time.
Now, Jim, had you left the Air Force by the time you and Ginger met, or?
No, we served 4 years together still when I was on active duty. We stood up the first F-35 base. I know you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, we went and did that. We came back to San Antonio, and I retired. So we did 4 years active duty together.
Okay. And the reason I bring that up, it made me smile when you mentioned, you know, the old joke is you ask a room full of fighter pilots who the best pilot is, everybody's going to raise their hand. So we're not talking about a group of meek little daisies here, but clearly I think what I've learned over the years and talking to some of our warriors is, you know, the ability to let go and admit when you could use a little bit of help, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, is there?
Exactly. And I know a lot of our veterans face that, is that that struggle that's perceived as weakness, like I can't do this on my own, and I face that, and I know a lot of them, our veterans face that today, and sadly, you know, too many of them take their lives because of that struggle. So just want to encourage them that it's okay. Life is bigger than us, but God is bigger than all of that. So there's always hope, and that's, you know, the book, Hope Found, when you reconcile the life you're living and the God you love together, and that's what we do each and every day.
Well, Jim, thank you so much to both you and Ginger. Again, folks, the book is Hope Found. You can find that on Amazon. Look it up. I look forward to reading it myself, a very powerful story. Not the end of the chapter, I want to say, for these two families. We look for lots of great stuff coming from you both here in the future.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, safe travels. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Major Ed Polito, Ginger Rivella, and Jim Rivella. Ginger, of course, and Ed with the Folds of Honor Foundation. You can support them. Visit foldsofhonor.org. Don't forget, you can find this and other podcasts at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. If you'd like to support our initiative to continue to get these messages out, visit Patreon.com, American Warrior Radio. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care, Tucson.